It is podcast on a Tuesday.
A rainy Tuesday.
Corey's gotten into sourdough bagels.
I had a
really great breakfast this morning.
Yes.
From my typical protein shake. My body's like, what is this wholesomeness?
It was very good. The sourdough bagel is spongy.
It's densely
fluffier. I would say a regular bagel, like from the grocery that's been in the fridge, is dense.
Okay, I'll say that the bagel from a grocery store feels like the exterior is plastic. I don't know why I'm saying that. I eat through the plastic, sure. But it just feels plasticky. This felt doughy.
It was delish.
Yeah.
It was very good.
So that was wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
I made so many.
I think Corey thought
she killed her dough starter, but you never updated anybody on the podcast.
I did not. So this is what I learned. You can barely have any starter and you can revive it and you can grow it.
Did you have to give it a special treacle flower?
No, you just had to grow. Like, there's no discarding it. So discard is when you like need to take some out. There's nothing to take out.
Oh,
so
that
you
makes
just
sense.
Feed that. It barely weighs anything. So you don't want to put that
so
in.
So how
a
are people
jar.
Killing the starter? They're not feeding it or they're using too much of it and there's not enough bacteria?
There's so many ways to kill a starter. Mm. So many ways.
Oh.
Looking at it weird.
Feeding it too much dead. Too little dead.
I do learn, and you can feed your starter all-purpose flour.
Okay. I feel like that's what we did at the class.
But they said all-purpose – oh, unbleached flour is what you want to do because bleached has already killed the yeast in the flour, and the yeastiness is what your starter wants to eat. So you want to do unbleached all-purpose. But if you wanted to give it a hearty meal, unbleached bread flour, which has a higher protein content.
So your
bacteria.
It's the strongest starter in the world. I have a powerlifting starter. It rises all the way. So tell us about this podcast and then we'll jump into today's topic.
Welcome to the Baking It Down podcast. We are actually a spinoff from a group on Facebook, about 45,000 bakers strong. What we do is bring you a topic, a little tidbit, a little marketing nugget each week to your ear canal so you can bake and learn at the same time.
Get that elevator pitch dialed in.
I would hope
dialed
so all these years.
Yeah, can you believe we've been doing this for years?
No.
2020. We're in 2024.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was the end of 2020, but at the beginning of 2024, it just feels like it. But moving on to today's podcast, it is that time of year when the license to print money for cookie classes has dried up.
No more licensing.
Now you must pay for it.
No more.
So we always talk about how cookie classes are such a fun and great way to generate probably the highest profit margin, I think, in this space.
I love that we have a positive spin on classes, and I like to preach that classes are the way to diversify your income, but
it doesn't change the fact that it's still a marketing tactic and there are dry months.
There are dry months.
So
there's
the
slower months.
The rain months of cookie class is December. Like in December, if you
– I would say October, November,
yeah, absolutely.
December.
December, license to print money. October, license to print a lot of money. November, license to print a ton of money. Like those are the 3 months where if you were like, I'm getting started in class, I'd be like, yeah, start there.
Yeah, start there.
The comparison and why you always have heard us say this on the podcast is, but January is the Sahara of classes because it's just a different month. Everything is switched from that grandma's in town, we want to make cookies for Santa.
To now the bills are coming in from Christmas.
January has been, and I know some bakers won't experience this, but for Corey and I, January has been such a dry month that we stopped teaching cookie classes in January altogether a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's always we tell people, oh, just regrouping.
I will say, shame on us for not attempting again. What marketers are we?
We're lazy marketers, okay? I don't like being told no. So that doesn't change the fact that sometimes you just got to cancel class. And it's actually a savvy business model to understand when and why to cancel class and not let it trip you up.
And then also when and why not to cancel class. Mm-hmm. And also don't let it trip you up.
Right.
I can see it in the group when someone has to cancel a class. Hold on. My cat's in the – okay, sorry.
Corey's cat's at the vet.
We don't know.
And her husband is
the
there.
Typical husband.
Didn't give him much information when I said – I can't believe he made it over there. I forgot to give him
a couple years ago, Corey's cat needed to go to the vet, but Corey had left them a bad review for another experience with the same animal, I think.
No, different.
Different.
Who, Roop?
No, that rescue dog.
Oh, Corey, okay, who made a mistake there? It was you.
Rescued a 15-year-old bulldog.
So we take it to the vet. Also, I can hear sounds. Okay. We took it to the vet. Corey's like, and Corey had a bad experience with the vet. Because they, what, cut it open and they didn't need to and they forgot to check something. It was a wild story with the 15-year-old dog who shouldn't have been put down. No. Or put under. He didn't get put down. He lived a happy long life. But Corey needed to go back to the vet for a cat, but didn't want them to be like, oh, it's that.
It's that lady.
It's that lady that left us a bad review. So she had me call. So I call in, but I'm not able to take the cat.
I want to say, husband before someone thinks I'm like just throwing one stars over the place, I didn't leave a public bad review. I wrote a scathing email.
Way to show control.
But I know that they put a little star next to my name. Do not in there.
So I say, I call in. Of course, I know nothing about their cats, but I'm also not the one dropping the cat off. Yes. It's Corey's husband. So I'm like, hello. I need to take my cat in. And then she's like, will you be bringing it? I was like, no, my husband. And she's like, Mr. Miracle? And I was like, Mr. Jones, I didn't take his last name.
In all fairness, I didn't take his last name either.
And she's like asking me questions about you guys. I was like, I don't, let me think about that. I think I forgot our anniversary.
When the lady called me yesterday, she was like, what name would it be under? I said, either Miracle Mason or Jones.
Around the world in 30 name changes with Corey. Okay, back to the top. I don't know. Okay, sorry. So anyways, Corey ducks out. She's taking calls.
Yeah, my husband's like,
she's
like,
taking calls from our husband.
When the before was the vaccines.
So tell him to contact me. I'll let him know. So back to classes. Have we had to cancel classes? Yes, January and our summer classes sometimes. That was when we first got started, which we'll touch on in a second. So disclaimer, what Corey said to add here is if you're getting started, you will always have smaller classes, especially in these harder months. Even if you started in December, that was great, but you didn't have a track record of teaching classes, so you haven't created that funnel for these harder to market seasons. So what we're saying is even if the class is small and you're just getting started, or this is your first class,
still
might be a great practice run, not a time to cancel.
Great opportunity.
Right. So, when we taught a class, we actually taught a private class to our mom and sisters. So it was a class of three, and there was two teachers, one twin for each.
One-on-one. I hope Heather had no clue what she was doing.
Yeah, but that was a great class. Yeah. So, okay, let's say you don't live anywhere near close to family, and you're unfriendly, so you have no friends. Maybe teaching a low-attended class is a great starting point.
And a way to be friendlier and learn how to make them.
Yeah, you need friends. You two people. Would you like to be my friend? So if you took a long break, let's say 6 months to have a baby, you know, or you just got out of the
Babies
game.
Babies pop out 9. Just FYI.
A lot of people are working until that 8 months. So if you took a long break and you're just like, I'm back. I was filling classes and now I'm not. Well, you're retraining your audience. So yeah. I would say for you two people, tune it out. Don't cancel class.
Don't cancel class. I think it's still a great opportunity. If you need marketing content to market a future class, why not get it at the smaller class? Mm-hmm. There's less for you to do. And you know, like if you're, you know, no, you don't. This is your first class. if you know, you know.
Just kidding. That reminds me of J-Lo. Orange drink, if you know, you know.
My hair looks like this when I'm on the vlog. Okay. If you're in class, a lot of times you're holding their hands at the beginning of the class. Then they kind of get like the swing of things and they don't need you anymore. That's a great time to take content, photos.
Oh, that's a great one.
And videos.
Zoom real close in onto those two people. Make it look real. I mean, if you look at some of the content we used to promote our classes, every time we had a really low attended class, we would say, mom and sisters are going to need you to get some tickets.
Yeah.
Like, and so they're in these class pictures. We just act like they're not
speaking. I don't even reference them as family. Like, look at this gorgeous lady.
Look at this talented cookie lady.
Whoever taught her must be amazing.
Okay. That disclaimer is if you're just starting out, I wouldn't cancel class. And if you took a long break and you're just starting back, I would not cancel class. Okay. When to refund and not cancel. So again, at the end of the day, if we can fill these seats, that's good marketing. So before we run to the cancel button, I would say try these things first. Because again, marketing podcast, if this class can go on, we would want it to.
Also, I know a lot of us want to jump to the, I'm going to cancel class. Like I don't have a ton of people in the seats. everything you do is a reflection on your business.
Oh, yeah. Last minute canceler makes me think you're going to last minute cancel my birthday cake. Yeah.
So if you get mad at me for canceling class, odds are you're never going to place a custom order with me or recommend me for custom orders.
I think most people do. If I scheduled a car detail and the person canceled and said, well, I don't know when I can come back, I would have been like, yeah, you'll never see me again.
Exactly. Exactly.
So keep that in mind. We're going to talk about reputation in a second, dear. A little.
I did. Easter Bunny. I don't want someone to listen to this part. Turn it off.
Say cancel. Canceling. Okay. If someone has a sickness, give them a class credit.
At the end of the day, and I hate, listen.
Okay, I want to let you know. We taught a lot of classes when COVID was kind of just still popular, right? And like it was a constant. As soon as the class went up, as soon as the tickets sold out, we'd have 2, 3, 4. A lot of people say like, oh, if I got sick. There's nothing you can say. At the end of the day, you don't want them in the room.
You don't.
So I thanked them. I said, thank you so much for sitting this one out. And
thank you for so much for catching COVID the hour before class.
You know, it's so funny. Eventbrite still covers refunds for COVID tickets. So like Eventbrite fees are non-refundable. Yes. That's the big thing. Whether the client pays them or whether the company absorbs them, Eventbrite makes its cut. Unless you say it's for COVID-19, Eventbrite's like, yeah, we'll handle it.
At the end of the day, you don't want to get your whole class sick. No one wants to stand next to the sneezer.
When we had these classes, you know, COVID lasted for forever. So like year two, and somebody would cough. You could see the rest of the room was like, oh my goodness.
Like we'd all pause.
Yeah.
Like a silent pause. And we'd all like, look around.
You needed to have open mouth coughs outside. So if someone is sick, immediately give them a class credit. Now, if it's within your threshold of a refund, odds are people don't get sick for like 2 weeks out. Yeah. Right? They get sick within a couple of days of the class. So for that, for our policies, they immediately get a class credit.
Yeah.
Now, again, if you use Eventbrite, like we've talked about, they changed some things on January 1st. It makes class credits a lot weirder. Haven't figured it out myself, but I roll them into a next class.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, if they're sick, it's okay. Get out. Please don't come. How can I bribe you?
No, no asking them for proof. No showing the COVID test.
I would immediately Google COVID test and send it to you. They don't want to come. Don't make them come.
Exactly.
And they've used the get out of jail free card. I don't feel good. There's nothing you can do. It's a food event. Right?
And if you make it hard for them to cancel and they show up to class.
That'd be so weird.
And then everyone's miserable.
You've had a couple of bad attitudes and I've had a handle refund. I've
had some bad attitudes.
You have.
It was a snowmageddon. A random snow in last March.
That was out of everyone's control.
My car
can absolutely. It was a beautiful summer, spring day when we walked out that day. We had to teach those people for a whole year after that. Anyway, so tell them, okay, this one I like to have Corey's. It's a challenge to get them on your side. So, okay, we refunded the sick person. This is just a person that wants to cancel, right? Or say, if you can help me sell your ticket, you get a full refund.
So someone wants to cancel last minute. Uh-huh. They are not sick, but they say, hey, something came up. There's something more fun calling my name than your class. Instead of just being like, no, you have to come. Say, listen, I'm going to post it on my social media, or you can post it on your social media. If I can sell your ticket,
you're out. You don't have to come. And then give them a full refund. Yeah. I'd be okay with that. So I really like that because that means if one ticket is available, two people are working to fill the space.
Yes.
And you could do that a couple of different times if three people, and you'll have three people canceling at one time. It'll be a lot when you're a room of 10.
Yeah. I would say the way I'd word it was – totally understand. I've already made everything for you, your seat for class. So here's what I can do here. I'm going to post my social media, send out an email. And if I can sell your ticket for what you paid,
you're free. If not, just pick up the DIY. Like, yes. I would say, like, don't let there be a third unopened. Why I don't have to go. Yeah, and
so did you sell the ticket?
Right. So they can say, like, either we sell this ticket and I'll let you know. Otherwise, just pick up the kit and you don't have to come.
Yeah.
Like that one a lot. Love this one we talk about a lot. Offer BOGO to current class attendees. Corey and I have had this happen where, like, let's say the problem is when one person's sick and they signed up as a group, the whole group will not come.
Yeah, because they want to decorate together.
This is a friend's day out. That's what happened to our last class. Is the lady's like, I have COVID. They're fine, but they don't want to go without me.
Yeah.
Corey's probably like, the two have to come. You told us to rally. So we gave them
either
all
cough on your friend.
Make them sick. So when you have somebody take out a large group like that, so we have a class of 10, three people were sick, and then we had another person. This last class was the lowest attended class we've had in a while for two sicknesses taking out four people.
offer BOGO to current class attendees. So, it, for example, we had 10 people coming, 4 people canceled, that left 6. What we could say to the 6 is, listen, guys, if you want to bring a friend, we'll give them that ticket of 50% off. Yeah. Now, you can create codes in Eventbrite that allow you to do that. I don't think you can create a BOGO code where you take out 2 tickets, and I'm not sure. I haven't researched that. But odds are it wouldn't matter because we already have 6 people who paid. We need to fill 4 seats. So I would say to those people, because you have their email, hey, guys, listen, we had last minute cancellations. It's already baked. Here's your chance to bring a friend. We've done that in the past, and it has worked very well.
I will also say buy one, get one for free or half off.
I would do buy one, get one half off.
Yeah. The reason why I was okay with allowing those 4 people.
Make money.
Yeah, you said BOGO, buy one, get one.
Every BOGO I've ever been to half is get
everything.
If you find a
every infomercial place running, is buy one, get one for free.
Every mall sale is buy one, get one for 20% off.
If, what was I going to say?
Look at my snake looking at you talking.
Hello, I'm a little bull. No butthead.
It's got a butt shape.
I'm not a man. The reason why I was okay with letting those 4 people out of class was because I had not baked or done the icing
you
yet.
You are skipping to our next
I'm just saying. Topic. That was the only reason.
Okay.
I didn't have banish.
Well, we didn't offer BOGO tickets. I was curious why.
Because I had – I said – so they canceled that day that I was making the stuff. And so I only made enough.
Fair, fair. So, yeah, it was me and Corey, each with our 3 people.
They had a blast.
Yeah, it was a good. It was fun, almost fun. Like I,
it was. Yeah,
it was fun relaxed. To have a smaller class because you get more elbow.
Yeah.
Okay, this one is a marketing cost, right? So let's say somebody cancels. You're like, I'm not going to be able to fill this ticket. Go to community group and offer it for free. This is just chalk it up to a marketing expense. You'll have people biting at the bit for a free ticket to a class tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
But look at all the people who get to see it because people love free, and we know how you get them is how you keep them.
Yeah.
That said, a lot of people will be able to say, oh, I didn't even know these cookie classes were available here. While I didn't win the free ticket, I still now – this is on my radar.
Yeah. I would say another money move. Say you have – you could fit 2 people in there.
Okay.
A lot of groups don't let you sell during the week, so you're kind of like, am I there? But on your page – say, tag the person you would want to go to cookie class with, and I'll choose
that one.
Choose one person who comments and their friend to go.
So that's a loss of 2 tickets, but great.
Loss of 2 tickets, but now you have reached a whole new audience of locals because people are tagging a local person.
If you had the option between page posts of that, 2 tickets, or 1 community group ticket, and you're allowed to make it, which one would you choose?
Mm.
I'm going to go with community group. Because my page people already know me.
Here's the thing is most community groups
I'm saying are – you're allowed to.
You're just – most classes happen on Saturday.
Yeah.
You'd have to post it Friday.
I've made a magical – I've made a magical group.
All right. I would post – the community group would be great. If all the stars aligned and the eclipse happened, I would choose the community group.
Okay. And then this one is the final tip on when to refund and not cancel is ensure your no-show policy is really dialed in. You can't go back in time. I always tell people like policies are random, but you can't go back in time and say
I'm adding this one right now.
Right. So if you if class comes and what we've had happen is people email the hour of class starting and say, hey, I can't make it. You have got to have said – that's what I always tell people. They're like, somebody did something crazy. I'm like, what did they know before they did the crazy thing? Because that's what you're going to be held
to.
So you have to make sure that no-show policy and Corey's is, and ours is dialed in. Like if you – and it says in the end of every email, if you do not show up to class, I can do nothing for you. So please at least try to show up. Like it says it – like we're on the same side. But if you don't show up – and we've had people – and I love this. We've had people that have not showed up.
Yeah.
And we never hear from them. It's like they knew. They're like, I didn't make it.
Yeah. If they reach out to you, that means they did not know. And they're in limbo trying to see where you are. And then you're getting a bad taste in your mouth about them because they are reaching out.
Yeah, because from the baker standpoint, I've made this stuff for you. You didn't show up. What are the odds of you doing this again?
We've had people groups that showed up and maybe one person doesn't show up in that group and they're like, yeah, they can make it, but I'm just going to bring their cookies to them. Totally fine. Get it out of my face.
I don't want to see it anymore. You can't show for me, I'm not going to show for you. So dial in that no-show policy. Paste it friendly as many places as you can. It's on our Eventbrite listing. It's on our emails. What?
Sorry.
Roobsterkin's doing okay?
No.
Okay, that was to the ward off canceling. Now, okay, let's move over. We're going to have to cancel this class. When should we consider – I get this question a lot. These are the four times that I would start thinking, oh, this may be a canceled class.
Okay.
The important thing is to realize it's not a reflection on you.
It's not. You can't take it to heart.
No, a lot of people do. A lot of people will teach, set up their first class, no attendees, and say, my market just can't sustain it, or somebody else is taking all the tickets. There are a bunch of bakers teaching the cookie class kits here locally, and we're all selling out.
We're all selling out.
It comes down to marketing. It doesn't come down to, like, it's one baker's doing this.
You have to realize, you're like, your room can hold 10 people.
This is what I always think. When I pull up to any stoplight in Fairfax County, one, every lane is four lanes, and at every stoplight is probably 30 vehicles.
Absolutely.
Who knows how many people are in these vehicles? We know at least one. If every single one of those signed up for class, I'd have to tell 20 of the cars, no, you can't come. We're booked.
Even, and if you're like, oh, the twins live in the D.C. metro, that's not me. Even in a small town of 17,000 people.
It's still.
You could not have them in the town hall. 16,990.
You can't teach that day. So it comes down to a marketing thing. If you have to cancel class, it is a business move, not a failure thing. So we've canceled classes, and we still teach classes, and we're selling. We're halfway sold out through October class. So you can cancel class, and it doesn't mean you're bad at cookie classes.
If we ran our marketing and only tested one time, and from a one-time test drew a conclusion that the market is saturated, we can't do it. You can't just do it. You would have to teach January of this year and compare it to January of next year. You can't do January of this year compared to December of last.
And we can't compare January this year to January 2 years ago where COVID was piping hot. Like, it was just a different market.
It's unfair to your marketing. Uh-huh.
You have to collect as many. Corey and I were talking about a strategy. We were working in a local community group, and I was like, should we keep doing this or not? And Corey's like, you've only done it once. Like, we don't
know.
Okay. Fair point. I wanted to cancel it, but okay. So when to consider canceling, the time frame. Like Corey said, she considers canceling class before she bakes. What you don't want to do is bake for this class, have no tickets sold, and then be like, now I'm surrounded by cookies.
Yeah, that I'm having to figure out how to get rid of now.
So Corey and I will look like at sometimes, typically we bake on Tuesdays or Thursdays. Yeah. Class will be on Saturday. If by Tuesday, Monday is when I start sending out email reminders and stuff. If by Monday we don't have a capacity that I think is worth it, we'll have the conversation, hey, should we cancel this or not? So it's before you render the pre-services of baking the cookies. Yes. Once those cookies are baked, odds are,
to me,
you lost money.
To me, you're invested.
Yeah.
There's an investment.
Right. And you could say to myself, like we said on the class that we just taught, like, this is only six people. Out of 10, it still is in a nice threshold for us. But were we going to, like, Corey's like, well, I'm not going to bake for those remaining four because that will take out of our
profit. That will take out of your profit. So because we hadn't baked and there were still six, the venue fee was zero.
We were still
in the green.
So make all these decisions before you start baking. Once you start baking, you're kind of locked in there. And if you're baking blind, you don't know how many to bake because we don't have a final number of tickets. Corey, blind by the time baking?
Burn your hands, man.
More than one way.
Send those brows.
By the time we bake the set, that person is going to class.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there is a small wiggle room area where they say, I got COVID, I can't touch them. But odds are that that's kind of where we're at. So that's why we do push it to the end. If you bake super early, if you're freezing stuff, don't listen to this topic. Like, if you're freezing things 3 months out, props to you.
Hopefully you can freeze it for another year.
Yeah, so the time frame is make the consider canceling before you start baking. That would be when I'd start this thought process. Mm-hmm. Now the threshold. What's a minimum required signups to cover room costs? So if your room costs are zero, you still have ingredients cost and labor cost. Yeah. But what's the minimum? If two tickets covers my costs and I'm selling three tickets, technically I'd be operating at a profit, covering cost of labor and travel and things like that. If three tickets cover my cost and I'm still teaching a class to seven, I would go on with the class.
Uh-huh.
If you're like, well, I have.
It's not a feeling. It's not a, let me look at the chairs problem. And only half of them are filled. It's a math problem. There's no emotion in it. There's no, I feel like a failure. I want to quit this.
Yeah, because I think her name, Heather in the main group, she's been in the college a bunch too. I almost think she's from Australia. She taught a class to 140 people.
I want to say it was 422.
It was something ridiculous. It was the most I've ever seen a class. She brought us along. Yes. If you want to search her name in the group, you can find it. Massive class is a keyword I would search for. But okay, if I look at her classes and I see my highest capacity, and this is our next point, is don't focus on room capacity. like we were talking in the cookie college and someone's like, yeah, I've only sold out 50%. And I'm like, oh no, how many? And they're like, I've only sold 20 tickets. That's like, that's 200% of our clients.
Yes.
Their half 50% is two. So you can't look at percentage of a room.
Yeah.
Even if the room doesn't look very full, you may just have a big room.
Listen, if you're teaching at the Sistine Chapel and there's two people in there, might look a little
crazy, right? So always focus on the dollar amount. If you have a giant room, three people show up, but two people cover your cost, still a viable math problem, still making a profitable thing.
Bring them to the front.
I'm going to need two people in the back to move up here in the front. And so Corey and I look at it. So we can see 10. And I like to tell people, like, we see 10. 50% of our capacity is 5. Yeah. 50% of that other person's capacity was more than our full capacity. Uh-huh. Focus on the math problem. Even if the room looks empty, consider it a great elbow room class where you can have a little bit more fun.
I so see people in Sugar Cookie Marketing Group focus on the number of tickets they can sell and then get bewildered when they haven't gotten close to that versus getting close to what your profit is.
Right.
So
when I come into a room and we're elbow to elbow, like we took the bread class the other day.
We did.
And it was just, I think it was 10 attendees.
Well, only 8 showed.
Only 8 showed. But I'm, as an attendee, I'm like, more elbow room.
Absolutely.
Like I was taking stuff from this no-show person's file.
And
I
was
like, yeah.
Because they were you stole their scale and their scooter.
Bring me that stuff. Get on it. So, yeah, I think I stole their like napkin too. But you're thinking like, oh, everyone, no, spread them out. Give them each their own table if you want to. And you'll find that a lot of these people are actually like, I can see it on our attendees' faces. They love it when people don't show up.
They love when people don't show up. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to decorate with you guys. This person didn't show.
So focus on the math problem. Do not focus on room capacity or total number of tickets. If your costs are covered plus some, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Do it. Teach a class. This will be great practice. You'll still get the photos.
And it's a great marketing thing. So, okay, maybe class didn't sell out, but there's enough that you're still making a profit. I will say, teach a class. That's a great way to get your name out there.
Marketing.
People love to talk to people, especially if they have a great time.
When there's fewer people in the room, you can be a little bit more personable. And I can be like, hey, you three people. Listen, I need you. I need you like a needle needs a vein.
Like the lighthouse on the coast.
Like the father, the son, the Holy Ghost. So I would say I need you to leave me reviews out like, hey, listen, even if you bake the extra kits and you had one no-show, you guys divvy it amongst yourselves and leave me a good review.
They're so proud of their stuff. They're posting on social media. Mm-hmm. They're tagging you.
And then you can be like, hey, I need you guys to help me. Let's build up, like turn them, make them your
buddies.
Now, okay, let's say we tried all those things. We've tried to get the ticket sales. We've done the BOGO. We've considered canceling. Now it's time to cancel. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to make the call, right?
Yeah.
Time of death. So time of death for your cookie class. And Corey emphasized this one. She wanted me to write this in all caps. Consider the repercussions of canceling.
Listen. A lot of times people are bringing friends and family out of towners or like a girls' night outer to these classes. Canceling the night before a class. I want you to think about the repercussions. I want you to put your feet in the feet of the class attendee.
Got a feet on feet scenario here.
You've had this planned. They signed up months ago. They're friends in town from Maine. This is actually what happened to us the other day.
Uh-huh.
And this is what their big
We were the shebang. Surprise for the Maine
girl.
We were
the surprise.
Two friends from D.C.
D.C.
I want to let you know, where we teach classes in D.C., it might as well be continents away.
Yeah.
Their friend came from Maine. And they said to the Maine friend, not the primary, the state.
Yeah.
We are going to take you on a surprise. Just get in the car. Yeah. And they drove from Washington, D.C., which sounds close, but in the world of traffic is very, very far. Yeah. They drove to our class.
We've had someone from Guam.
Mm-hmm. I said, you win the award of farthest travel. Yeah. Just hope we got to knock your socks off.
You have to think. If your heart's not – like, I want you to say the profit is not there, and then I'm going to say, go ahead and cancel class. If you say
– the profit's not huge.
My heart's not into it. I don't really want it to – I would rather have my Saturdays off. The class isn't full.
If you got invited to a winery, which is a class day, and you cancel your class to go to the winery, bad business.
Listen, if you cancel your class and have fun – after that,
How dare you?
You should be sad.
I want you to be miserable.
Before you consider canceling class, Corey and I have taught many a class that the entire setup process, we were like, we don't want to be here. This doesn't make a ton of sense. There's so many more things that we could do. There was a pet expo we had to sit out on. I love me a pet expo.
They went to an eagle exhibit.
Yeah. My mom is like, what can we do when they're teaching class? It's the most fun possible.
Don't worry. I forgot boxes. They're going to leave.
So before you cancel class, ask yourself, if everyone in this class left me a bad review, am I okay with it?
Am I okay with it?
Because that is the risk you run. And I know people are like, well, I'm overwhelmed. Life's overwhelming, man.
It's a little overwhelming.
But to cancel because you were tired, to cancel because you want to do something else that's more fun, or to cancel because it's just like, well, I don't really
you
feel like
you say other things are your priority. You should never run a class in your first place.
Yeah, you tricked people into signing up for something, and they've moved around their schedule for you, and then you're just going to cancel them.
But if you're going to do that, no, you run the risk of losing the business from everyone in that room, plus
who they tell. Right. And if you had done that little marketing gimmick with the community group, now you've got a rogue community group member with a bad experience.
Listen, when a community group member buys from me, I sweat.
With questions.
I sweat because they comment a lot in a community group. What's holding them back from commenting about me?
I would be personally on the ticket buying side offended. Unless extreme circumstances, I'm going to be like, that's not fair. I've canceled my plans.
Extreme and extraneous joined together. Just imagine that situation.
Okay. We considered the repercussions. Yeah. And you're like, I'm still willing to risk it. Okay. Well, but we have some signups, just not enough to make this a viable business. Contact the venue, especially if there's cost involved. So our venue is free. It's not a big deal for us. But if a venue has a cost associated with it, I would have talked about this when you're considering setting up the class. Can you get the money back?
Because
if you can't, you might be teaching that class regardless.
That is also a great point. A lot of times we're approaching these people who have never allowed classes to be taught in their venue. They do not have rock solid what policy. Happens if you cancel policy.
But also consider this. If you cancel the class, not only the ticket buyer's mad, you may offend the venue, because remember how we talked about getting that venue is saying, I'm going to market to everybody. I'm going to bring this foot traffic in here. If you don't charge me, I will market your company. And then you're going to turn around and say, oh, by the way. And then you know what they're going to think? Next time I'm going to charge a fee. Next time I'll charge a fee, because then they won't cancel.
Well, also if they've done some marketing for you.
You got to consider that you may never be able to use this venue again. So we said we may never see the buyers again. We may never see the venue again. If the venue is free, you have a lot more flexibility with canceling. Now I'm going to go back to the math problem. Because if the venue is free, there's no cost to cancel. If the venue is paid, and sometimes I see people from California, their venues are so expensive. Granted, they live in a high cost of living area. Their tickets are expensive. But those venues are like rock solid. You're not getting your money back. So ask yourself, if I'm walking away from $200, would it make more sense to teach this class?
I also think California is like built for venues, whereas like we're like, hey, can we go into your back room in the library?
Yeah, like the basement where the dogs are getting washed. Can we use that? So Californians, they've got a bigger problem on their hand because they've got a non-refundable room deposit.
Yeah.
So again, the math problem around that venue is going to factor in there. Does it make more sense to just teach the class and take the loss, but not take the bigger loss of the venue? You can still do the marketing thing. Let me ask you this. Hypothetical.
Okay.
Let's say we have a room venue fee that's $300.
Okay. Not,
that's a lot.
That is a ton.
But I don't have the tickets to cover that, even the room cost. So even baking, I'm losing money. Would you say, listen, I'll fill this room and this will just be a pure marketing
plan? Oh, but listen, I love marketing scams.
So if we had tickets for 10, we only sold 3. The room venue is 300. Would you be like, hey, I'm just going to give away the 7 tickets?
I would give away the 7 tickets, and then I would require of the 7 ticket people to 7 reviews.
Yeah. That would be an interesting thing. When the venue is really expensive, you guys are operating on a different protocol than the rest of us free venue people. Uh-huh. That's why I always encourage people, if you can find a free venue, I would always start there. Because when or if it, you're going to end up canceling classes, it's just going to happen. When that happens, you're not out the room cost or that. Because here's the thing. We don't like it when the ticket buyers are like, hello, I won't be coming. Yeah. Can I get my money back? And then we're going to turn around and do that to the venue. Hello, I'm going to cancel. Can I get my money back?
We used to do a paid venue. But it was a prime location. Mm-hmm. It was close enough to everything that everyone could get to it.
Also, the lady was a bit flexible. She gave us the cleaning. Because we said, if we clean up, can we not pay those hours?
I want to say, Everything is negotiable. Mm-hmm. Everything.
When I bought that car, they sent me this document, right, with all the fees and stuff. And it said dealership fee. And it said, this is not negotiable. I was like, okay. If it's not negotiable, it's not negotiable. But then he's like, okay, we need you to sign all these papers. So I'm reading them all like an insane person. And it was like the state had required all the dealerships in the state of Connecticut to send a paper that says the dealership fees in bold and caps are negotiable.
Crazy. I know. But listen, everything is negotiable. Everything,
even the not negotiable dealership fee is negotiable. So you can say now, okay, if you have to cancel, ask, you'd be really pushing your luck here. Ask the venue if you could use it, if you could roll that cost into a different date. So like, hey, I'm not taking your money. Can we just switch the date?
Absolutely. Listen, that's saving face more than
everyone gets their money. You may get your money.
Yeah.
The venue gets their money. So that would be before you ask that venue for their money back.
Just negotiate.
Right. Reach out to current attendees offering to roll them into the next class. I like to lead with that. Like, hey, guys, we didn't reach our attendee threshold. I know. This is on me. I give you two options. I can immediately reserve your seat for the next class, which I'm pretty sure we will have enough. Or if you want a complete and full refund, if you have to cancel class, you're going to pay those people that Eventbrite fee, even if you charge it to them.
Yeah. They did not do anything to lose it. Mm-hmm. The bad taste in their mouth that they did not get
the overproof sourdough taste in the back of the throat.
The density, how dense you are for taking those fees.
For me to have to pay a fee for you to cancel on me would offend me to the core of my being. Yes, you would never see or hear from me unless it's from a bad review. You may hear from me in a community group. But yeah, so I would always reach out to the class attendees. If you're letting Eventbrite if you're letting them pay their Eventbrite fees, I don't know how Eventbrite handles canceling a class. I think it is a bit different.
Yeah.
However, in any capacity, you're going to refund them the whole thing. Even if you're using Square, your own website, and you pay a processing fee, you are going to pay the processing fee twice on the refund, but you are going to give them 100% back.
100%.
You are canceling on them. You are at their graces.
Yeah.
I would even go as far as say, here is a percentage off your next ticket.
Absolutely.
You are saying, hey guys, I've had you move your schedule, get excited about something, and now I'm going to pull the rug out from under you. Let me do everything again to not let you be upset with me.
Yes. Yes. Now move to your next one because I know you have a good one before you cancel.
The fifth core is email the class attendees. Ask for a response that they've read and confirm that they've read this email. I'd even put a deadline on it that says, if I don't hear back from you by this date and time, I'll give you a call, which means you needed to have collected their phone numbers at time of ticket purchase.
Listen, our emails are landing in spam, promotions, anywhere but the main one.
Lady was like, oh, I signed up for your class with my crap trash email.
Yeah.
And I was
you're not checking that.
She was like, yeah, email me back here.
What we don't want is someone to show up to a class that no one is at.
Nothing would offend me more.
Listen, I'd rather pluck out my left eyeball than call somebody. Uh-huh. But I'm going to have to put on our big girl panties and pick up our phone and dial their phone number.
Uh-huh.
If they have not confirmed with you that they have received the cancellation of class
and email, given you the option that they want,
you've got to call. Uh-huh. Just imagine showing up to class.
I would be furioso.
Driving from furioso. Guam just to have the door locked and the lights off. No, you're going to have to call.
You're going to say, but I did my side. The whole transaction was through email and I canceled through email. Buddy, you are at the mercies of a person you canceled on.
I know you love to just die on the hill of, no, we've only communicated through, listen.
You canceled the plan. Like you're no longer under protocol of stay on brand with the method of communication.
If you post your canceled class to social media and hope it reaches two people.
Let me emphasize this. Somebody in the cooking college had said, she was like, before you think the twins are lying when they say be annoying about posting, she's like, I've been posting that the Taylor Swift class for a couple weeks. And I called my friend and was like, yeah, I'm really excited, the Swift class. And she's like, what? I've never seen you post about it. And she was like, here I am thinking I'm blasting these people with the color red and nobody sees it. So if you go to your page and you make a post and let's say you even put more effort and you check this, share to Instagram too, and you say, class is canceled tomorrow, attendees, please reach out to me. Absolutely not. No. You should do that. You should. Well, if I cancel class, probably wouldn't post it. The people that need to know, I've already communicated with.
I'm saying like people are like, I don't know, I'll just post to my social media. They'll see it there.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's why it is so important to have an email list instead of just willy-nilly. Well,
that's why I wouldn't take payment at the door.
Right.
I would take payment ahead of time.
Right.
But, yeah, that one post to social media and be like, well, I'm going to go off to the winery now. That's not it. You're not being very nice or fair. Yeah. There's people, whether or not you're very organized, there are people who are very organized. Yeah, you know what? When they come in and they yank on the door and the lights are off, they will pull up your social media and they will check their email, but that's not the right time for them to have to, to do that. Okay, now so let's say that's canceling class. Again, I like to roll them into the next class if I can. Most people will probably take that offer, but again, you need to be absolutely okay with just saying, here's your money back. What to change for next class? You need to understand that just some months are harder than others.
They're harder than others. It's not you.
It is the month.
It's the month.
Corey and I, when we first got started, so we had no data points. We were just flying blind, bacon blind. And we were like, hey, let's butt up all our classes against a holiday so that the class is themed to the holiday, which is a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So it did really well for Valentine's Day. It did really well for
Easter.
Easter, yeah.
It didn't do well for Mother's Day.
That was a call in
July.
Yes. So there's 4 days in July. The brain doesn't really lock into the 4th of July until July 1, in my opinion. You get the little booths.
It's a travel day.
It's a travel day. So we taught a class. I think we taught it on July 2. Or it might have been 3.
Yeah, it was very close.
Right. And Independence Day, a high travel holiday, was the next day. Our class attending was solo. That was the class we had to cancel.
Yeah.
So I rolled them all. I said, would you like to come to our August class? Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone even canceled.
So then what we had to do the next year, now that we had a data point, is we taught a July 16th hamburger class.
Yeah.
And that did well.
Grill and chill, which you'll never guess what the cookie class kit for June is.
Grill and chill.
And somebody's like, well, why don't we do an Independence Day? Because we've learned a lesson that that's such a high travel holiday, and July only has those 3 days before July 4th.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that is a thing. So just understand that some months are harder than others. I find January hard, February pretty easy with Valentine's Day.
The summer months are hard because people are traveling. Mm-hmm. Also, the kids are home. They'll have to find a babysitter, typically. That's an extra added cost.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the classes start picking back up in September. And then October, November, December, I don't even have to – you will sell out of those tickets if you do the promotion correctly. So those are the ones – like if you're like, well, I'm just going to get started in classes, I would consider getting started around August to get a dry run, low-attended class. Uh-huh. September, you're going to see kind of a lower attendee, maybe not a book out, but then October, November, December, you'll be ready to go.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
If this is your first year teaching classes, I would go as far to teach in the J summer months to really get that dry run, find you a free venue – and teach those to get it practiced out.
But if people don't sign up, especially if it's your first time teaching, you have to realize that your market, your audience that you have built, has not been built for classes. So you're going to have this kind of where you're like, chicken or the egg? Do I sell these tickets or do I cancel class? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not on you. It's you're training your audience and they have not been trained to come to classes for you.
Mm-hmm. Corey and I have been teaching classes for years, which is wild.
Wild.
We got these smelly sticks. I've just been snoring this bad boy. It's supposed
mine
to
is peppermint.
Stress.
You're really honestly supposed to put it up your schnozzle.
You can't do that.
Sniff. No.
It seems gross.
Yeah.
But back to the podcast. Adjusted proximity to holidays. There's some holidays where I feel like getting as close to the holiday is great. There's some holidays where I think getting as far away from the holiday is better. In December, we actually teach ours at the beginning of December because it almost doesn't matter in that month. We could teach it December 8th or December... Are you tapping?
No. Another tip, though, is your class might not get people in there. It could be 3 weeks before the class and you have two people signed up. A lot of people will wait to the last minute to sign up for classes. Yeah. So if you cancel it too soon, you run the risk. Like, you could have had that class.
It's a balancing act.
Some people are, like, canceling their Taylor Swift class. She drops a album on April 19th. They're canceling it now. Listen, someone was just pulling eggs out of Heather's...
Yeah, I don't know.
Mailbox.
I don't know why they're having this still late Easter egg hunt outside, but they are.
Like, the eggs are still ripening in the yard.
The bunny is still bunnying away.
He's just hopping away right now.
To cancel so soon, like, again, Corey and I are considering canceling 7 days out. To consider canceling a month out is a little bit aggressive to me.
It's a lot, but if your heart's not into it and you're like...
If you're looking for a reason to cancel, you're going to cancel anyway. So we're not going to talk you off the ledge,
right?
But I would say if you posted the class, you know, honor what you posted. Yeah. The thing, okay, let's to consider. So we've already had a cancel class. I would adjust my proximity to high travel holidays. Again, I stay away from those. We have a very transient area. Nobody is born from here, so they're always leaving to go visit family. Audit your promotions. What did you miss? So again, we got to take a little accountability here, right? If class doesn't sell out, there's probably a little bit of a weakness in our marketing that we could, you know,
judge. There's never been a marketing campaign where I'm like, I hit that 100%.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's not on me, man.
Like, you're like, well, I posted everywhere. Did you make reels about it? Yeah. Well, I posted it. Did you make a Nextdoor post? I don't even like Nextdoor. Did you make a Nextdoor post about it? Like, yeah. Did you stop making up the – stop building the wall and let's crash them down a bit. Did you post in the community groups? What was your sales pitch? Did you tuck in at the very bottom of your email that you're offering this class? Yeah. You know, where you water, it will grow. Where you focus is where you're going to see results from. So if you're like, customs, at a class.
Yeah.
You're going to see customs, and cancel class. So audit your promotions. If you don't have an email list, now would be the time to get us. If you want to get into VIP groups, or Corey and I are exploring creating local community groups, which is different than a VIP group, you're going to have to start building that up now, long before you cash in on it.
Yeah.
And then I would always say what you can change for your next class if you find that you're canceling a lot of classes, spend a lot of time finding a free venue.
Yeah.
That venue cost is something that you will have to eat that will eat away your profits. Sometimes I'm almost astounded that some people can walk away from that. Some bakers can walk away from that fee.
In your mind, think about who you can approach that maybe is not a typical venue. There's venue places out there. Of course, they have a fee.
Anything that says rentable venue is going to
it's
not
going
be
to
free.
Have a fee. But if you're like, hey, I know this local mom and pop restaurant closes on Sunday.
Yes.
And I could possibly bring people to their
or
shop.
Or a mom and pop shop with a room in the back that you know that nobody's
yeah.
using.
Like yeah.
Not a basement, but like a
there's
rentable
a,
room.
Yeah,
like a
there's room. A, I will say, there's a place called Fran's Cake and Candy. She sells like supplies to bakers. It is not a back room. It is just a sectioned off area.
In
and you're
store.
Like sitting next to boxes
you can
for
hear
sale.
Them teach a class.
Yeah.
Wow, you're shopping for
kids. Yeah, and you could teach a class there. So you can get creative if you just look around and think of what's not so mainstream.
I know some bakers can be like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. There's always money involved. Okay, find a common ground where you can say percentage of ticket sales to the venue.
Yeah.
So that way, if you're not making a lot of money, they're not making a lot of money.
Or a flat rate per head. That comes in.
Percentage of sale.
Percentage of sale. Flat rate.
A flat rate per head, it'd just be a percentage of a sale. A flat
Listen.
Rate at all is what we're Listen. Trying to get away from, buddy.
Flat rate per head.
Something else you can do is tell the venue that.
Sorry. Quite from her master. I've never been good at math.
Find a venue and you can set expectations. Like, let me do a deposit. Like, let me do not rent the whole room. Like, if the show goes on, I'll pay for the whole fee. If I got to cancel, what's a small deposit you still get to keep? Versus that entire room fee going out the window is wild to me.
Yeah.
Or you can find a
flat rate per person.
Listen, you find yourself a flat rate per person. Okay?
You save yourself some money.
Not a person.
It's a flat rate per person.
Or then you can have, like, say, like, hey, let me have a venue fee for here and then set it up before you have to cancel that if you have to cancel, you'll take the room for a different day. Mm-hmm. Again, you can't go back and say what wasn't said.
Mm-hmm.
So stay in front of that venue fee if you find that you have to pay one. But again, I would spend my next couple months finding a free venue. Like Corey said, percentage per head for free.
Listen, flat rate per person.
I would say find those unconventional things. We have a swipe file, a template file in the college that's reaching out to breweries and wineries because they
love
attractions.
Flat rates per person.
That's the end of it.
Okay, good. Move on to the next question.
Okay, so we're going to go to our text questions. I didn't read these first. We got two of them. The number, if you want to save the podcast,
571-556-5644.
Nice.
Yeah, someone said we say it too fast.
Say it slower. Say it moderately less fast.
571-556-564.
If anyone complains, if that was too fast, you're listening to us on 2x speed. Okay, how much would you recommend we have set aside in our Oopsies fund? My average order is 3 dozen, but I do have larger orders. Thanks for your help. I would have 3 dozen, whatever that cost is, in your Oopsie fund at all times. It's a replenishment fund. So
can you read
when
that again? I was not tuned in.
It's true. How much would you recommend we set aside in our Oopsie fund? My average order is 3 dozen, but I do have larger orders than that. Thank you for your help. My suggestion is whatever that 3 dozen is, keep that as your Oopsie mm-hmm. fund. The minute you have to use it, start building it back up again, mm-hmm. a replenished Oopsie fund. The odds of you messing up on a large order are there.
The odds that you're messing up like 6 dozen cookies, rare. The odds that of the 6 dozen, 1 dozen bleed, more common.
Right. So then you can handle that. Now, again, what she's asking is I recommend when I see people who don't want a refund an order, they've clearly messed over. The client is irate. Whether or not the client is right, the client is like, I will tear through these internet uh-huh. fields uh-huh. with fires ablazing. That just like pay to make it go away. When I see that bakers have already spent the money, yeah. they do not, because it's truly hurting twice. Not only did you render services, you spent the money, and now you got to technically take from your own pocket.
You're like paying the Pied Piper twice.
So we always say keep an Oopsie budget where it's just not even your money. It's not money you're, it's just money that's there to save your butt uh-huh. to get this client to buy your piece back mm-hmm. again. So she's saying, well, my average, whatever your minimum is, whatever that is, plus 20%. I don't know. Give yourself a little elbow room.
Yeah.
And then just, I took a poll in the sugar cookie marketing group. I think hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people answered. The average refund per year is 0.
Yeah.
That is what we are averaging. So the odds that you even have to touch this are almost 0.
So I would say 2 dozen plus 20%.
Yeah. Something. Give yourself some elbow room. Be flexible. If you kept like, I don't know, let's say you kept $300 as a Oopsie budget. That would be real nice when somebody's like, I'm upset. You'd be like, here's your money back.
Yeah.
Here's your money back. I am so sorry. I'd love to work with you again. Blacklist them if you have to. Whatever it is.
Right.
Buy your piece back and you don't have to think about uh-huh. it. When I see, by the time people get to the cookie marketing group, they've already replied to the client incorrectly and it's escalated. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're asking us to talk you off the ledge.
The thing that I hate to see in that post that you're referring to is when they say, money is very needed right now. Like, I don't know one person who's saying money isn't needed right now.
So the client's also going to say, well, I need my money and I wanted cookies and I didn't get either.
Right. But imagine if you just had the Oopsie fund that you made from an easy order, right? Mm. That of money maybe that wasn't needed so much right now. Because we're always buying little things we don't need, things like that. Then you wouldn't matter so much. You wouldn't have to come to the group so desperate.
I know. I use a budgeting app called You Need a Budget. They actually taught a Facebook Live a couple of years ago, if you want to check it out, on how to use it for your business. I use it for my personal life. In that, I have an Oopsie fund. I don't even look that. Money's not mine to spend.
What's your life? What's Oopsied in your life?
Usually when I forget to budget for what something actually costs. And I'm like, oh, instead of like, oh, no, I got to take that from my dining out fund. I'll take it from like, oh, I actually call it my old crap fund. That's what is written there. I'm like, oh, crap. But that this was not as fun, but okay. So yeah, build that up, replenish it if you ever have to use it. The odds of you having to use it are not zero, but they're very low. But how great would that be when the client's like, hey, I didn't really think this met my expectations. No sweat at all. I'm really sorry about that. I'll take that information back to the kitchen with me. Anyways, you should see that refund about 5 to 10 business days.
When I made the cake pops, my first – ish cake pop
green
order.
Hue cake pop.
And she was like, these taste like unbaked cake. Me checking the oven. No, it was baked. It's just very much squished.
You didn't say that.
No.
I said, you idiot.
I said, keep them, toss them, throw them in the wall. Right. Here's your cash.
But by the time the baker reaches us, they've already said, they're near baked and you're wrong. And the client's like, I don't care if I'm wrong. I hate them. And then the client will start creating a bunch of different reasons because they're going to get this.
Also, there was a hair in one.
Absolutely. And then we get sugar cookie. Mario's like, I licked every cake pot before it went out. So I know there weren't hairs in it. I would say some of you guys are wild on out there, man. What? Some of you guys, I look at you and Corey and I raise our eyebrows and be like, Olive Garden, Olive Garden.
Olive Garden.
Hi, ladies. Officially requesting Corey.
What? All ears.
To sing. Baby, One More Time that you post on your Instagram stories with my piping hand is killing me. I took a screenshot.
My piping hand.
Do you have all the lyrics?
No,
pull it up on your phone.
That's all I know.
It's really good. Brace yourself, my little texture. She's pulling up the lyrics.
When am I looking out?
Go to our Facebook page.
Facebook or where? Instagram?
It's in either, but the Facebook page has the lyrics. So I made a meme. I saw this. Somebody took Britney Spears and it says, my loneliness is killing me. And they changed it to my lower back is killing me, which is
hilarious.
So I changed it to my piping hand is killing me. And then I wrote some lyrics.
Oh, you wrote?
Yeah, I wrote those. I had to Google it. And then I sat and used my brain.
Okay, ready?
Are you going to be my backup dancer?
Can you move the mic?
Away.
Yes.
My popping hand is killing me. And I must confess, I need relief. But these cookies, they need some lines. They said so did I. Hope they cry and watch up and die.
You had too many words. Okay, if you guys didn't think to do that, shut up.
That's what I deliver.
Not cookies. Just
I will be signing autographs and royalties later.
Oh, Brittany, you did wonderful. That takes us through our text. It's 571-556-5644. Clearly, there's nothing we won't do.
Four texts.
Moving on to the Cookie Collage.
The Cookie Collage. This week, we're dropping our graduation set.
It was very cute. I've been working on it.
It's very cute. I will say, if you're like, I feel like you could market this for a class. A lot of people are using it for DIY kits or actually using the cutters to.
You know what I saw people in the college talking about? They're like, I'm going to market this as a private
party class. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
so
a good
just
idea.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, because oddly you've jumped on the 156th episode of this podcast out the door. We have the Cookie College, which is a monthly membership, and you get marketing tips and stuff. But a part of that, a component of it, is a membership that we also have called the Cookie Class Kits. Each month you get all the materials you need to promote, fill, and sell a cookie class, which includes the theme and everything you need to teach it, right? So we actually use the very things that we create. We taught this class last Saturday, found a typo. Yeah. And all I could see, I stuttered through it because I said, everybody who's teaching this class also has that typo.
Also has the typo. You have a typo in everything you type.
That's how you know it's my autograph. It's my autograph. So I want to be like, yeah. Listen, if you're typing that much stuff.
I know.
You're going to be tripping
sometimes
over
I see your tiny little post and I'll have to text you. There's a little typo in your
constant. Clearly, there's a mess up. Paragraph 3. Line 2.
Did you know I'm reading?
Sometimes I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see it. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll see a typo and no one warns me. You best be glad I'm warning you. Mine will go up for hours and hours before I go back to read my geniusness and find it myself.
It's offensive when you're like, that was so great. Let me read it. And you're like, oh my God.
And then the people who like had to struggle through it and still gave me
You were gracious giving me that like. You just did that. You felt bad. But this month's class is a graduation set. So every cookie class kit follows the same setup. It's always 6 cookies and 4 icings that can be taught in an hour and a half with a PowerPoint, and you walk them through it. And I thought this was really cute. So let me see if you can remember what's in this. Grad cap.
Grad cap.
Grad gown.
Am I remembering or are you remembering?
I'm trying to remember because I just was staring at it. Diploma.
Diplomi.
Tassel.
Tassel. Bologna. Balloon.
A balloon. That one was a wild one to me. I was like,
2024.
Yeah, and then it's hard. But I think the text is pretty easy to write.
It's easy because I asked her to do the shape, the cutter around the numbers so you can.
So that is the cookie class kit that will drop this week. Drops the first week of each month. What's the next month's theme? Oh, grill and chill.
Grill and chill.
Yeah, so we try to drop them almost 2 months before you need them. So you have a 6-week marketing runtime. Yeah. So you don't have to cancel those classes.
I know. Nice.
Some of you guys are like, I'm teaching a class, started marketing it this week. I think I'm going to cancel it next week. Like, oh, great. No. I market them for months. And you're just out there going to turn them on, turn them off. But yeah, if you want to learn more about the Cookie College, it is a fun old group. We've had people in that Cookie College for 3 years.
3 years.
3 whole years. 3 whole years. And you know what? That says to me that people are like, I'm getting value. Mm-hmm. I like what I get here. I like the community you build here. Actually, in the Cookie College Facebook group, it's a private group you get in when you get your membership. We're talking about money this month.
Money, which is a weird topic. And so many people love to be like, look, I taught a bazillion classes, made a bazillion dollars. But sometimes we need to have the hard conversations.
Yeah. Sometimes people have debt. And it's such a weird – and this is why I think financial literacy is so hard to talk about, because a lot of times you have to be like, yeah, I have debt.
Yeah.
And it's a weird judgmental thing and people feel embarrassed about it. But in this community group that's this small, I can manage a lot of it. And also have the ability to ask anonymous questions. So I'll post them for you. And we can talk about the debt strategy or compounding interest or compounding interest debt and really get people an understanding. One of the members of the Cookie College said, I was here last year. We did it last year. That's why everyone – it was a test run last year. Yeah. They begged for it this year. Someone said, I can't wait to participate again this year. That conversation that we had in February last year has allowed me to change my entire relationship with money and finances. And I am super excited to bring that to the table
Because a big part of business is the finances.
Kind of the only part of it. If I'm not getting paid, I'm gone.
We love to put forth this facade that we're making zillions of dollars, everything's going great. But then you're sitting there and you're like, what am I doing? Am I the only one feeling this way? And then you'll find out you're not the only one feeling this way.
It's nicely timed this year with tax day, because some of you guys are going to realize, wow, I thought I did really good last year, but I was razor thin margining the whole thing. Yeah. And one oopsie fund request was going to flip me into a negative. So in that Cookie Cottage group, it's under 1,000 members. We can really have more delicate conversations around more high stress topics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm excited about the money one. We'll be talking about saving money. We'll talk about budgeting money. We'll talk about handling debt. And we'll talk about a strategy for, like, savings. And barely touch on investments. Not investment advice, but just what I do, what you do, what we find works.
Yeah.
What we find don't work.
Don't work. Now on to our sponsors. First up is Royal Batch by Bakety Bake. I made a batch yesterday. Make batch all the time.
Son of a batch.
Yes, son of a batch. It is so silky smooth. I do follow the ingredients and the recipe on the back of the box. I do take out an additional tablespoon so it doesn't crust as fast, because I'm a slow decorator. But if you're looking for a meringue powder and you're like, you know, I want something that is silky smooth, that tastes great, has ingredients already included in it, already has white food coloring, so it bakes a bright white, vanilla food flavoring, delicious, and it has corn syrup. So it gives it a soft bite. It is what I swear by. It is what I use. Highly recommend. You can use code TWINS to save 10% off your order. She's in stock for both of them right now. And I think she will be attending CookieCon. So if you want to save on shipping, you can pick it up from her there. But I highly recommend giving it a go and testing it out. As with anything, you can't run a test once and assume you know exactly how to use it. There is differences between meringue powders, so giving it a go, learning best practices. In our sister group, which is Baking with Sugar Cookie Marketing, Courtney Post, the owner of Bakety Bake, tells you best practices. So if you read that, you look at that, and incorporate that into how you use it, you're going to fall in love with it. Take them to our...
Never
the bridesmaid, always the bride. No, yeah. Never the bride, always the bridesmaid.
You're always a bridesmaid.
I was a bride multiple times.
Eddie is a direct-to-food printer. You print directly on food. Now, I saw some pretty fantastic uses of Eddie for Easter.
Yeah, Heather was very impressed.
I was very impressed because, you know, like when you want to go to that delicate Easter porcelain vibe, that would be really hard to airbrush because it's like got that, I don't know, filigree? Am I using the right word here? Just fancy curls and gold texture lace, with bunnies looking through clouds. Like that really like delicate
Whimsical.
And I don't know that hand painting would be – it's not that you can't do it with hand painting. It's that it would take forever. Mm-hmm. And then you got the brush strokes and you got, I don't know, vodkas on the table for some reason because you're messing up and gold. But then on the flip side, you could say like, okay, let me do an airbrush. I don't think an airbrush can do that delicate stuff unless you're truly dialed in there. So where's a happy compromise when we want to work at a scale and get this stuff out and sell it to as many people as possible? Eddie, the direct-to-food printer. You can get something, you know, pay for the commercial license for a print image and print that directly onto cookies. You can print it onto cake. Donuts?
Donies.
K-cups?
No. K-cups, they do have an attachment, macaron tops, M&M's, and things like that. I will say, check them out on their Instagram. What people are doing can really, like, open up your eyes to what you can do with them. I've got to figure out how to do the transfers with them.
I think you need a tray, right?
There's a tray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
who's the lady that's really good at a...
Karen. Custom Cookies by Karen. Find her TikTok. She's using them like in every set. She's just so good and I love watching her use them. If you want to check out, Eddie has an Eddie Printer user group on Facebook.
Say that 5 times fast.
I know. Could barely say it one time. Check them out. You can join it. You can just peruse there. If you're saying like, oh, I don't know if I can afford a brand new Eddie, they do sell refurbished ones.
I'm a refurbed bae through and through. Give me a refurbed Canon camera. Give me a refurbed. I know risk because you're saying this is used, but refurbished also comes with that warranty.
Yeah. So I would check them out, check on their website, see if you can't snag a dealio.
It's about a stealio.
Stealio.
Okay, that takes us to the podcast. Do you have a Twinterest?
I have a Twinterest. In the Cookie College, someone was making what looked like fondant bows for their bunnies. Turned out it wasn't fondant. It was multiple royal icing. So I ordered a bag. We'll be trying it. Multiple royal icing that looks like fondant, but doesn't taste like fondant.
Where'd you get it from?
It was a company from Mexico, so I can't say it. I don't know how to speak it.
Oh, I was like, you can't say it?
Top secret.
So it looks and acts like fondant, but tastes like royal icing?
It's royal icing, multiple royal icing. Put it in your hand, you can squish it. It's not wet.
Does it come pre, like you're just,
I think you have to mix it. I just got the bag. I don't know. I have to open it.
I'm so curious. Is it expensive?
Twasn't cheap.
Twasn't.
They never. But if you're just using it for details, I think it would last you quite a long time.
Not bad.
Like little bow details and little eyeballs and stuff.
My Twinterest is we went to the Peep Show. Our local, there's so many communities here because this is an amalgamation of a bunch of little tiny places. But Occoquan is kind of this eclectic back in time. I think it was founded in the 1800s. Historically preserved. Uh-huh. They haven't been able to put a Walmart. They would if they could. So it's this little tiny town on the water surrounded by I-95. Like you can literally hear 95 on this quaint water town. So Corey made us go. They have because it's so small, they had a peep show, which everyone had to make peep. The marshmallow dioramas. And it was kind of a great marketing idea. So I'll be honest, Occoquan's kind of lost its way in the past, but they're trying to bring the community back together and fill in more of these shops because it's been a wasteland of little tiny shops. Yeah. So they had these peep diorama. People in the community could submit them and get voted on, but each business could also make their own diorama. And then you were listed in this peep show. We had to meander through all these shops.
You went into the shop. It was good for marketing because you had to vote on the businesses' dioramas. Yes. So you had to go into the businesses to see what they made so you could vote on it.
Seeing what the business made, someone made the business into a peep diorama and had the employees glued it onto the face.
Me and Heather are going to enter it next year.
Yeah, I think that would be funny. There were some great ones. So what Corey and I did is, this is a part of marketing as well, we went through and we took a picture of each diorama we could find. I think in total we had found 20 or so. And then we post them in the community group, which is what every group admin would want to see.
Yeah.
And then we were able to tag the town of Occoquan, who happened to also be a business owner in Occoquan that was helping the town run it.
Yeah.
So if you're always wondering, I don't know how to add value, just buy my cookies. That is going to be one of those great ways to add value. I had a lot of fun going around seeing these peeps.
Yeah. And making some content about it, a little video that they ended up sharing. So
yeah, so that's the kind of grassroots local community value-added marketing that we talk about. And also, it was a really good time.
Yeah, we finished it with some really good food.
Yep, it was pretty okay.
That was our Twinterest.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything else? Are we mail that mail?
I've been avoiding that. It's tax time, man. I'll see it around the year. The other day, I went to the mailbag thing. Somebody sent us something. And except for the IRS. And I was like, hey, can I get the mail? And she's like, you don't have anything. And I said, we don't have any packages, but I'm promising you there's paper. And then she's like, oh, wow, yeah, you have a ton of mail.
Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate another week with the Baking It Down. My pipe.